lot of times you see that the Old Testament saints allow worship to be corrupted, and God would send prophets and tell them you're wrong. You got to turn around. You got to repent. And they would do that. And what it shows us is that every once in a while we need to look back and make sure we're still following the as it is written law. Look over to the book of James. Look at James, it says, "But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." He said, we ought to have patience while we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. We need to be careful not to be deceived in our service, to rely on what God has told us in Scriptures, and it would make you wise unto your salvation. To understand that, to listen to what he tells. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. He says, if anybody talks more about themselves, if they deny the eternal God, if they say that I did this, I'm going to heaven, then his religion is in vain. That's not what it is written. It's not only vain, it's a reproach to God. It's not pure, and it's not undefiled before the Almighty. And it's no benefit to you, for that matter. And it's a reproach to the description of the gospel in Christ. In Jeremiah, he tells us that, this is back when Jerusalem was in danger of being destroyed. They had been sinning against God, and there's a whole lot of sin and a whole lot of wickedness around, but especially the people had been in contempt of the Word of God. They neglected this. They neglected what God had to tell them, and they had a hardness of heart, and they'd been called on to repent. And he gives instructions that whenever we have doubts, whenever we are not sure, if we're still within the boundaries that God has given for us, he says in verse 16 of the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see and ask the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul." But they said, "We will not walk in that way." What he's telling you is that standing in the way, he's talking about a through way or a expressway, if you will. A way is a road. And he said, stand in the intersection and see where each road might lead. Now, we see in the book of Genesis where God knew that Abraham would raise his children according to the precepts and the commands of God. And we have a proverb that says, raise your children up in the way that you go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from them. And I was raised that way. I was blessed to be raised in a godly family. I didn't pay attention and didn't behave like I ought to, but it wasn't my parents' fault. They tried their best. And I was raised with godly principles. And it was a blessing. But as we get older, see that it's easier to become led away by ungodly principles, and we get out of the way, and we get older and older. We ought to examine the ways we're going and make sure it's the same way that God has prescribed, and it matches the same way as was written. And Jeremiah says to make a stand in your crossroads. Look at the roads and look at the signs where it says this road leads to here and this road leads to here. He says, stand there and read the signs. And that's not saying, don't take my word for it, because I might make an error. I pray that I don't. But don't take my word for it. Go by as it is written. Look at the road signs and listen to God. And if you follow the same road signs that old Enoch followed, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you follow those signs and you look where they've walked, and you see the road head this way, look back and see who was on that road. And if you recognize some of the names, that may be the road. You look down where they walked, and if you look back and you can see Calvary's Hill with the three crosses there, and you look on back beyond that, and you see that manger in Bethlehem, and you look back on even farther, that before the beginning of earth, that God created, he had grace and love for his children. If you can look back and see this is where the grace all began. This is where the love began. That's where the road began. It began with a sovereign, eternal God. You need to see where it is. Whenever Paul, or in the book of, book of Acts, when he was talking to the Athenians, he said, you're ignorant. You have an idol god. You're worshiping an unknown god. You don't know where he is. You don't know how to identify him. So you struck up an idol for anybody to worship, and you hope that'll get it in there. But he said, the God we worship, he created all. He created the world and everything in it. He said, this God, in him we live and we move and we have our being. He is our purpose. He is our reason. And his word declares that we should repent. We need to look back at that road ever so often. He says, you need to understand that the God we worship is not a weak God. He doesn't need our approval. He doesn't need our help. He is an almighty, all-powerful God. And the word declares that he's sovereign. And it's by grace. And if the God you worship requires your help, if he asks that he's done his part, and you need to do yours, then you're on the wrong path. Somewhere along the line, you have got off the true path. You got out of the way. You've been tricked. And you need to look at the signposts. And they must point to the great God Almighty. It must point all the way back to in the beginning. And then go back a little bit farther than that. And you need to see that it was by grace. And as it is written, anything else is a long path. May God bless you. My prayer. I don't want to take all your time, brother. I hope something's been said might cause you to think, might cause you to understand the glory that's due in our God. May God be with you. Got a
question. Thank you, brother. I'm going to sit right here. Listen. Brother Gleason's tough as I am. I take my coat off. And I certainly was enjoying Brother Gleason. I know he didn't get through. He just quit. Sundays have been reading and talking about Melchizedek, and my mind's still about him. I want to speak on it again. Brother Ray and Sister Doris might get bored since they heard some of this before. But in the 110th Psalm, the Lord said, it was a Psalm of David, and he said that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, and I'll make thy hand as a footstool. Down in the fourth verse, it says, I'll make thee a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And in the Hebrew letter, and we need to realize that the theme of the Hebrew letter, and it is Apostle Paul's writing to the Hebrews, who does not believe as a in general, that Jesus is the Messiah. They believe in the Messiah. They were looking for him to come, and they're still looking for him to come. They just don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And Apostle Paul is telling them in the book of Hebrews that we have a better covenant. We have a better high priest. We have a better sacrifice. In the New Testament, of the New Covenant, we have things altogether better than what was in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. Those things, the priest, the tabernacle, the clothing they wore, everything was a type and a shadow of something better to come, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. It represented his person. It represented him as our prophet, as our great high priest, and as our king. It represented him as the only mediator between God and man. And he became surety of the everlasting covenant where God gave a people to his son. It tells us about that. And so the book of Hebrews is talking about a better priesthood, a better everything in this age, the gospel age, the age of grace rather than the law of service. So in the fifth chapter, you run across this term, Melchizedek again. It's set in the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And he says, though he were a son, yet learned he in obedience by the things which he suffered. We're talking about Jesus Christ now. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, for whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you a dull hearer. Then we go on to the sixth chapter of Hebrews, and in the last verse we read, we'll start with the verse above. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem. Salem means peace, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is written that he liveth. I'm going to stop right there. Levi was one of the sons of Jacob, and one of the tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. And the Levites, when the land was divided up, they didn't get any land. And therefore, the rest of the tribes were to give them a tenth of all they had, their crops, their money, the oil, the sheep, and so forth, so that they could live. And they had cities of refuge, Leviticus 5, throughout Israel, even the space. And people that accidentally killed somebody, the danger was in life, or their life was in danger for some reason, they could flee to these cities of refuge and be safe until they had a trial or whatever they had back then, and have a hearing and be fairly accused or condemned for something. And they were known as cities of refuge. And there was five of them, and these cities belonged to the Levites, who had not received any land of their own, but they did have these cities. Well, the Levites, Moses, Aaron were the sons of Levi. I mean, they came from the Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And Aaron, God commanded Aaron and his sons to be priests. No other tribe, no man from any other tribe could be a priest. You had to be of the priesthood of Levi. And when they were 25 years old, they went as assistants to those that were already priests. And when they were 30 years old, after 5 years of training, as it was, then they could become priests. But at 50 years old, they had to cease being priests. So they could serve 20 years as a priest. And so there was a beginning and an ending to their priesthood. But Melchizedek said he had no beginning of days and no ending of days. And he was a priest continually. They could only be priests for 20 years. But Melchizedek was a priest continually. It was of a different order than Levi, a different priesthood. Of course, there's always been a lot of controversy as to who this man was. Some have said he was an angel. And some have said that he was Jesus Christ pre-incarnated. But I believe he was sham. And many of the Jews, the rabbis, believe he was sham, who was Noah's son. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, sons of Noah. Shem is the father of the Jews. Japheth is the father of the Gentiles, namely those that developed the Western civilization. Of course, Ham became father of the Ethiopians, I suppose the Africans. But I got a chart at home that starts with Adam, goes up to Jesus Christ, and tells when each one was born, when their first child was born, and when they died. And so I wrote down just part of that so I could give you this information, not get it mixed up. Adam lived, we know he lived to be 960 years old. Methuselah lived to be 969, the oldest man. He lived to be the oldest of any man that's ever lived, except for Jesus Christ. So Adam, the eighth person born from Adam was Lamech. I think Adam was 130 years old when he got king. And so Adam, Lamech lived 56 years before Adam died. So Lamech knew Adam, the first man created by God, 56 years. And Noah, who was contemporary with Lamech, 595 years. Noah lived 595 years while Lamech was alive. So Noah was 600 years old when he built the ark. So it is Lamech knew Adam. Adam knew Noah. Lamech knew Noah. Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem continued with Lamech for 93 years. So Lamech not only knew Noah, but he knew his son Shem, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So Shem was able to talk to Lamech, who knew Adam. Now that, we think that history and everything is lost and long gone. Here, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years after Adam. But here we have just one generation between Shem and Adam. A man knew Shem, knew Adam. And then Shem, was contemporary with Abraham. for 150 years. And he knew his son Isaac for 50 years. So Shem, you consider Abraham, and the thing that we read here was that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who was returning from the slaughter of the kings. Abraham was living there out in Salem, which later became Jerusalem, and some kings confederated together to take over around there. And Abraham took 100 of his servants and went out and slaughtered the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the Hittites, the Jebusites, and some of those different kings at that time. So he went out and he slaughtered them, and then he took their spoils and he coming back home. And when he got back home, this Melchizedek, which means King of Peace, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, blessed Abraham. He blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils that he had taken from those kings. So the lesser is blessed of the greater, we just read here. So here Melchizedek was considered a greater individual than Abraham at that time, and yet Abraham was the father of Israel. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob got 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. So the father, Abraham said to be the father was all, the father of the Jews, the Hebrews, and the father of the faithful, those that believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he said to be faithful to anyone that believes God, believes his words. So there's not many greater people around than Abraham. But here's a man that blessed Abraham. And the Jews believed, and I believe, that it was Shem who had come across the flood. At this time, he was the only person that had come across the flood, had talked with men who had talked to Adam. And all this information that had taken place was passed along. And Shem, you man that knew Adam. That's amazing when you think about that. And so Abraham, this man, and it says that he was a man. And this man was a king of Salem. And he was a righteous man. He was called righteous, peaceful, and the king of Salem, which means king of peace. And so consider that this priest, the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, and of which is king of peace. And it's always possible, Brother Gleason just pointing out some of those things, to notice the order of how things are given in the scriptures. He was king of righteousness, listed as king of righteousness before king of peace. Because peace is the result of righteousness. He had to be a righteous person before he could be a king of peace. And that's what his name meant. And he said he was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And what this means is that he was not somebody that didn't die. Oh, he wasn't born. But he's talking about the priesthood. Under the Levitical priesthood, you couldn't become a priest till you were 30 years old. And then when you were 50 years old, you were no longer a priest. You served 20 years in the priesthood, and that was it. But there's no genealogy given of this Melchizedek for that reason, because he's a type of the Son of God. Abraham is a type of you and me. We offer up gifts to God, and God blesses his people. You see, that's the type between Melchizedek and Abraham. And we're to come before him and spread out our prayers of supplications and thanksgiving, bringing forth gifts. Paul said that we don't bring the blood of bulls and goats anymore, but we bring forth the sacrifices of our lips. We thank God, worship God, and praise God for his bountiful mercies that he's shown to us, poor undeserving sinners who are condemned rightly so by his righteous law. But he has come on our behalf and fulfilled the law, which we broke and willingly. So he fulfilled it for us, that we might be considered righteous before God. His righteousness was imputed to us. Our sin was imputed to him. He took them to the cross, nailed them to the cross, it said, and left them there forever. Oh, what a wonderful high priest we have in the person of the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior. He's not only a prophet. A prophet's office is to give the words of God to his people or to whomever the prophet is sent. The office of a priest is to offer up gifts on behalf of who he's representing. In the Levitical priesthood, it was Israel. He's to offer up gifts to God. They could offer up not just anything, sheep, blood of goats, blood of pigeons, and the blood of calves, and turtle doves, five animals that were legally offered the sacrifices to God. And for us offering up a sacrifice to God, then we must have Christ in us. The scripture says, if a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The flesh cannot please God. The scripture. The natural man is just born in the flesh, without being born from above or born again, he cannot please God. That's what the scripture says. Because we're sinful. And God in no way can approve of sin. God is holy, holy, holy. And that's opposite of sin. In every way you can think of. And a matter of fact, the scripture says that the natural mind is at enmity with God. That means hostile. You ever seen a dog charge a cat? The cat bite up near the hair when his body stands up, and he goes, that's hostile. Now that's what the natural mind is like that against God. That's what the scripture says. We reject it. We rebel against it. We are enmity, hating. We say, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's what we say by nature. We are hostile and enmity with a holy, holy, holy God. Therefore, Jesus became a man, took on himself a body of flesh and blood, and in our behalf fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle. And after he had fulfilled the law, then he offered himself. For the penalty is of breaking the law for us. Because he didn't break it himself, he kept them. But he represented us in both conditions. And he who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. from Melchizedek is a type of Christ who liveth continually, has no beginning of days and no ending of days. And in the scriptures, there's no genealogy given in Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days, no ending of days recorded in the scriptures. And he does not have a starting time to be a priest and a quitting time to be a priest. He is a priest continually forever. And we have that great high priest in heaven. He is entered into the Holy of Holies. When they built the sanctuary, the tabernacle, it had a first compartment called the Holy Place. The priest went in and out of there continually, every day, to offer sacrifices and prayers and so forth on behalf of Israel. And but that curtain separated, it represented the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they went behind that once a year, and they all sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. The mercy seat was the covenant of the ark, the little ark of the covenant. And inside of the ark, there was a golden pot full of manna. That's what God fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert. Manna. It was the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. It had Aaron's rod budded. Aaron had a walking cane. And a bunch of Israelites rebelled against his authority one time as high priest. Said they wanted to be high priest. And the Lord said, lay your rod down there and let them lay their rods down. And he said, which rod blossoms and brings forth fruit will be the one that I have chosen. They claimed it. He took this authority on himself. So the next day, they got up and Aaron's rod and budded and had almonds on it. Fruit. That was in the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, that proved that Aaron was a called high priest. He's a type of Christ. Was in the ark. And it also had two stones with the Ten Commandments on them. And we know the commandments is what we wrote, is what the Lord kept. So that those commandments in there represented our great high priest that kept the commandments. He has fulfilled all the commandments of God. He's well pleased with you. Well pleased with you. Are you well pleased with him? Are you willing to lay down everything you own, all your good works, your good name, your good respect among your citizens, and just say it's not worth nothing. I'm trusting in Christ. He's all of my righteousness. He's all of my peace. He's all I need. He's all I want. Are you willing to do that? Yeah, and that's what it takes. And so Christ, this was just another episode through the whole Old Testament, which represented type and shadow of Christ in one of his offices as prophet, priest, and king, our mediator, who became surety of the everlasting covenant. And that's in this Hebrew letter too. I love that. He didn't come to security. You know what security is? If you want to buy a house or something and you put up a down payment, you put up something as security that you mean what you're saying, contract you sign and so forth. You back it up with a down payment as security. But if somebody came to sign that contract and you said, I'll be surety, not security, but surety, that means you have a picture. If something goes wrong, he goes to your surety. He's responsible. He takes care of it. Christ is our shield. We're safe. We're safe. He belongs to Jesus. May God add his blessings to his precious word. It is our prayer. We publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. There's one or more here today that has this blessed hope in your heart that Christ died for your sins, suffered greatly, and was crucified. And on the third day he arose to live forevermore. Then you have authority from your Savior to call for baptism, to portray you believe that you've died to your sins in Christ, and you have risen in newness of Christ when he arose, and you're trusting in him all you've got. And you do that publicly to the honor and praise and in obedience. We're talking about obedience. I believe Samuel said obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what he told Saul anyway. But obedience is better than sacrifice. So if you want to pray your Lord, be glad to listen to do whatever you have to say in any few words. What shall we sing, brother?
383.
383. Church published open. I don't say the door. We open the doors and we close the doors. The Lord opens the door and closes the door. I'm just publishing the doors open. We are at peace here. And the doors open for the reception of members. What was that number again?
383.
383. Thank you, kind. Sing, brother, when you're ready.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand is a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, that we never shall die. Is a land where we'll never grow old, never. Never grow up.
You have any appointments to announce? I don't go to any. I saw no regular services. If not, then, Brother Gleason, you will. You just dismiss us, please.
Most holy and righteous God, we have so many blessings that we come before thee. We ask that thou would accept our prayers of thanksgiving. Dear God, we ask you to be around about our sick and afflicted. Help them with the strengthening of the body. Bless those, O Lord, that mourn this day. We ask, O Lord, to be around about our soldiers on foreign soil. Protect and keep them, O Lord. Bring them home in a reasonable manner. Bless the leaders of this country, O God, that we may be a godly nation once again. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we ask that you be around about all that's represented here. Bless them and their families. Lead and guide our steps. Protect and keep us from all harm and evil. Bless all the churches that's gathered in thy name this day. Through the shed blood of thy Son, we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't know.